Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 26th. Joining us this morning is Noble County Second District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. It's so great to see you.
Smiley, smileys, huh? And it's really nice that we don't have the smoke that we have to worry about like so many others.
Gosh.
What a challenge that.
That's horrendous.
I mean, we know it is a challenge. All righty, Winston, why do we say it? Let's see if he can stump the guest.
Well, I was told to save one of two of these, since you are Irish.
Uh-oh.
I've got shillelagh and speakeasy.
Shillelagh and which?
Speakeasy.
Speakeasy. I'll go with shillelagh.
A good move.
So.
Why do the Irish call a club a shillelagh?
Oh, well, now I've changed my mind. I thought you were going to ask me what a shillelagh was. I could tell you that much. Why do they call it a shillelagh? I have no idea. Isn't that awful? I mean, I'm just like...
Well, yeah, this might be one that is retained.
The true Irish shillelagh is made of oak and is named for the town of Shillelagh in County Wicklow, Ireland, which is celebrated for its fine oak trees.
Well, I'm glad. Well, okay.
So did you know it had to be an oak?
I did know that, but okay. I had no idea there was a town called Shillelagh.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to visit there.
Probably like Napa. You know, everybody knows about it. They just don't realize that there's a town there. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Give you something to do next time you go back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we get to know a lot more of these things as tourism becomes even more and more important. I mean, every little thing is celebrated, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm waiting for the tomato festival. I know there are some, but here.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them here, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this year especially.
So are you happy with the way that the county has reacted, responded over this whole period of time?
Well, I don't know if you could call it happy, Brian.
Content, I mean, perhaps?
Not even content. Okay. I just think that it's not so much how the county is responding. It's that... It's a difficult and challenging time for everybody, including people at the county, the board, the health officer, people in the Joint Information Center, Emergency Operations Center, not to mention every single person living in the county. So could I be happy or content with any part of it? No. I am glad to say that we've kept it to a minimum here. We've taken advantage of the fact that we are a rural county. We're not on the monitoring list and kind of staying that way. I think people have been pretty good and, you know, commonsensical about it. And that's really important to me. It feels kind of weird, you know, saying, yeah, you need to wear a mask, but that does help. It absolutely does. And so people following those very, very minor instructions or regulations or recommendations, however one wants to say it, seems to be working.
As you see the numbers come across your desk, there was a great, and it finally resonated with me why I'm getting so torqued. Mm-hmm. Hospitalization numbers. Okay, you don't hear about those. What you hear about is how many positive tests.
Yes.
Which is just kind of to me, it's kind of like an ethereal number. Mm-hmm. Because it has no relevancy to anything else. There's no reference. Now, if we took, let's say, the flu last year, said, okay, how many folks tested positive for flu? Not how many got sick, not how many mm-hmm. who died, but just how many tested positive. Now we have a relative measure. I mean, mm-hmm. it sounds to me right now, and I'm sure to everybody else, X number of 100 million have tested positive. Oh, my God, it's all over the place. Okay, well, compared to what? And the hospitalization is the one that really reflects the serious stuff. And granted, it's immediate, it's not a long term, and we don't know how that's going to play out. But that would seem to be a constant number that could be then referenced to other situations, whether that's just the normal flu in the wintertime or some of the historic stuff. Because you didn't test for positive or not. Or let's say if I had it in December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the antibodies are there, but I'm feeling kind of halfway normal cocky. I'm not going to have a test done. Why would I?
Right.
Who knows how many people really were exposed or what percentage as we get into that, was it not herd mentality, but herd?
Herd, yeah.
Immunity.
Herd immunity.
Yeah. Is there any thought that that might start to be our reference points here, or are we just going to continue with what
well, I
has
think
been?
The whole concept of the numbers of positive tests, et cetera, are basically an indicator for the medical institutions as to what might be coming down the pike at them. So we haven't had a huge number of hospitalizations here in Humboldt County. Actually, I tend to see them going up a little bit now, which is kind of interesting. But I think bottom line, that from the perspective of the health industry, the health providers, they want to avoid overwhelming the hospitals. And even though right now they're not, it wouldn't take very much to overwhelm
that makes
them
sense.
In a small place like this.
As a barometer that might be coming in, but why would you be reporting those numbers then? If it's just for like that industry to kind of track it, unless there was something else at work.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of what my general thought was.
We'll look back on all of this and wonder, you know, that would this have worked better than the other, et cetera. In fact, we're seeing that even from the beginning to now, the changes that happen. But I think, you know, what we have to keep reminding ourselves is that this is still a virus that we really don't understand. And if it weren't quite so unknown, and if it weren't quite so gnarly for the people that it is bad for, we probably would be able to treat it more like a normal flu. But right now, it's troublesome in terms of what it does and how badly it affects the people it affects badly.
Yeah, it's like those that get hit with it, that are impacted, really get laid out.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you know, I think we have to be careful about it. I think we're much better off taking the approach that we have, where we were able to reopen and stay reopen, and I'm beginning to feel like it's a little bit normal. But now we have the schools we're dealing with, and that's
a different dynamic.
That is
entirely
a very different dynamic.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle. So as you look, as you talk, as you communicate, however you might, with the state folks, mm-hmm. you know, I know you've kind of had some regional boards that you're part of and some other stuff. How's that occurring? Are we continuing? Is progress occurring on those projects and those issues that you were working with before? Is it just kind of put a stall on a lot of things that state and government or special districts and regional stuff would normally be doing this time of year? How's the business of government doing?
Well, actually, Brian, the business of government is moving along, and I'm glad to see that. It's difficult. It actually makes our job even harder, to tell you the truth, because we're keeping it going at the same time as we're dealing with COVID, and now we've got a whole other reality of, are we going to have rolling blackouts? Are we going to have fires, et cetera, et cetera? So that is our world today. But the state now obviously is consumed quite a bit with all of this, you know, the governor's issues, but legislation's moving forward. We still have to follow bills that are going through the ringer or whatever, the sausage maker. And so things are moving forward. I mean, every day there are contracts that have to be fulfilled. Everything, business is moving forward.
What about under the
goal? Anything that's considered essential.
Yeah. That depends on who you talk to. Under the Golden Dome, are they continuing to grind out more legislation, or are these folks kind of gone back to their neighborhood, so to speak, and are living it, dealing with it, being part of it. Because, you know, one of the complaints has been at the federal level, certainly. Congress leaves. They say everything's okay. Suck it up, buttercup. We'll be nice, et cetera, et cetera. And their lifestyle is not impacted whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They may get a couple more phone calls, some more emails. But by and large, their life is as it was before, as abnormal as it was before. Okay. What's going on at the state level? Is that parallel, or are you they more akin to what you guys are dealing with, where you drive, you go to the grocery store and people are stopping you and you're getting interesting discussions and feedback about what's going on?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know that my colleagues on at the supervisorial level are definitely still engaged in their communities, et cetera. I think bottom line for the state, I don't know how many of them are working remotely, a lot are. Does that damage your ability to network and get stuff done at, you know, when it comes to passing laws and that kind of thing? I don't know. I mean, Sacramento is a beast when it comes to lobbying. I mean, it's full of people who are lobbying for this, that, and the other. Are they doing that now? How can they do that now? Do they do it through Zoom? I don't know, because I haven't been there.
It might be kind of refreshing. You don't have to have somebody right in your face.
Yeah, right. You don't have a whole bunch of people,
yeah,
you know, dressed exactly the same, you know. And so there's that element. I don't know how that's going, because I do know that a lot of people are working remotely as far as passage of you know, legislation and the legislative process. I think... Yeah, they're still making it happen. You know?
So you're still seeing the tidal wave hit the shore every week?
Oh, yeah.
New stuff.
Yeah, new stuff. And we are, too. You know, we're actually going through a few very interesting issues right now, whether or not, for instance, there's a bill coming up about Laura's Law, which would help put people in care against their will, if you will, if they've got mental issues or drug issues, and that's something I've supported for a very long time. The only problem with it is that there's no money from the state if it's mandated by the state. So there is a bill now, AB 1976. We sent a letter just after last week's meeting to Senator McGuire in support of that. But we do have concerns about the fact that it's not funded. And
yeah, it kind of seems hokey if it's not.
Yeah, so you want to be careful about what comes across your desk and what can happen. You have to keep, I would say, even be more vigilant.
Yeah, and it's disturbing that there would be a consideration of a mandate without any financial associated
there was
activity
supposed to be.
With it. Well, how do you vote for, doesn't matter, I mean, it could be that God is great, God is good, right?
Yeah.
But if it's going to cost you something, how do you vote in favor of it if you're just passing along a cost to somebody, regardless of how beneficial it is?
Well, I mean, that's was the whole thing from Sacramento, was realignment funds are going to take care of them pushing everything back towards us. Well,
that worked
we all
out
know
sweet,
how
didn't
well
it?
Exactly, you read my mind. You know how well that one worked out. And so we don't want to be, you know, we don't want that to be the catchphrase. It's like, well, you've got those. No, we don't. We can't even deal with what we're dealing with those funds.
Well, and then issuing IOUs, that doesn't.
Well, let's see how it all goes. Either. I mean, Brian, yeah. You know, we don't know what the economy is going to look like. We don't know what the budgets are going to look like. We passed kind of a placeholder budget in July, but in September we're going to be looking at what.
Yeah, it's got a big asterisk.
We got to check it out again. So all of those things keep going along every single day at the same time as we're responding to the COVID. And people are really counting on the county to be there. You know, I've noticed that a lot.
Yeah, there's... So if there's reliance on the county, is the county performing?
Well, from my perspective, yes. I know we're going back to that same thing, but you're right. From my perspective, we're doing a pretty darn good job. There's always... You know, things that can be done better, I'm sure. But honestly, I think the county stepped up very, very well. with the immediate establishment of a joint information center, emergency operations. But the key part of it is we recognized right away that the big impact of this emergency was going to be economic. And that's why we put our economic development director in his own little pod right there in the emergency operations center. And he's, you know, we were able to identify funding from the feds and the state to help our businesses.
It's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Always on time.
Oh, yeah.
Economic development is something that's a little bit of a challenge all the time.
Yes.
With the fires that are going on down south, with the fact that we can't do quite the outreach or people can't visit us as easily as what they could in the past. What sense do you have? Is this a window of opportunity for Humboldt County to see some of the growth, get the development? I saw a census thing that saw for the next 10 years they were projecting Humboldt County population growth, 0.002%. Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing that we haven't seen that growth. I can remember the signs when I was 10 driving from Eureka to Arcata, or the other way. Eureka was 28,058. It's still right about 28,200 or whatever. I mean, we are stagnant. Yeah. There may be turnover, but we are stagnant. And mm-hmm. everybody else has been kind of seeing growth. Is this an economic opportunity for us with all the goofy stuff that's going on to maybe say, we're the nice guys, we're the quiet place, we're the, you know, if you like nature, all these things, mm-hmm. yeah, the airplane service might not be what you want, but work around it.
You know, Brian, I think that that is actually the silver lining in this particular set of clouds, both the COVID and the fires. I'm very convinced that there's more interest in Humboldt County, in our general lifestyle, etc., from the outside at this time. I know for sure that people are more interested in visiting and getting away from the scary aspects of living lumped up together. And this is, you know, whereas you don't want to create another big lump of people. I don't think we ever will. But I do think the fact that through the COVID emergency, people have learned to work work at a distance, telecommuting, all of that. And there's much more infrastructure for that now in place.
And acceptance.
And
of
acceptance
too.
Of it. Yeah. You know, we're even looking at it from the county level. We'll be looking at it in the future in terms of what people can actually work from outside of the office, etc. So I think that in that respect, there is a silver lining. I think we need to push that and be aware of it. And in a way, the fact that we are taken care of and we don't have a huge number of infections and we're not on the list is all good. It says, hey, Humboldt County is safe.
And we're not 110.
Safe, beautiful, and
temperate climate, isn't that what they say?
And you can, yeah, so I really do think that there is an opportunity there. I think we
are
going to see.
Are you seeing some of that?
We are seeing
starting
businesses.
To kind of bubble a little
mm-hmm.
bit?
Yeah, if you talk with the economic development director, we're getting bites now from other areas, people that would like to locate here. And I think, you know, that's kind of the only way, really, that we can do it is with that kind of telecommuting and that, because we're not, you know, we're not Santa Rosa, but we don't even want to be Santa Rosa, but we can be a little bit more.
I wouldn't mind another 100,000 people placed properly.
Exactly. Humboldt County, I think, can definitely do with a little bit more, and I think it would be good for everybody. I think people need to understand that's where the money comes from that helps infrastructure, et cetera.
That's what I was going to ask if you thought that there would be a better understanding so it won't have the pushback of some of the development that we have had. I mean, I find it hugely ironic that within the last 12 months, the community told Terrigen to pack up and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is again. And people are getting excited and getting concerned. It was like, wait a minute, you had the solution in front of you. The green solution, the thing everybody wanted, et cetera, et cetera. And you told them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So how dare you come back and have an attitude? You know, you are getting what you voted for. What you wanted is now coming home to roost.
Well, I think
live with
it,
guys.
Well, you know, as you know, I did not support it in final analysis.
I thought it'd be good for a little bit of conversation.
No, but I think that, you know, honestly, Brian, those things can be done better. And that is one thing I think
but
that
is there
there's
another
a
project?
Lesson out of it. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So there's other folks looking to do it.
And right now we're working on the Humboldt Wind Project offshore. We're working on the aqua farm, but you're going to hear more. There's solar projects out Highway 36 and all of that. But the bottom line in all of that is you got to do the work before it gets to the final
stages.
You call it. Yeah, the final stages. Get the buy-in, get people working with you. I think I give great creds to AquaFarm for how they're conducting their business. That's what you got to do.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, looking at some of the different realities that we're dealing with today, and whether it's tomorrow or not, who knows, and it's certainly not what yesterday was. How do you sense the commerce, how communities are interacting? I mean, you've got three high schools? No, Ferndale's Rexy, right? So you got Fortuna and South Fork.
Yes.
Okay. How they're dealing with it. And you've got Avenue of the Giants and the tourism and, mm-hmm. and all of those efforts. Fortuna certainly had a little bit of air pulled out of the balloon with no rodeo and no auto.
Yeah.
County fair didn't happen. I mean, there's a bunch of things we can point to and go, yeah. But overall, what kind of sense do you have? Is that routineness starting to occur?
Yeah. I mean, Brian, I think it has been and continues to be a real big impact on the community. Fortuna is like so alive at this time of year normally. You know, you've got the rodeo, you've got Autorama, you've got Hops and Humboldt. I mean, on and on and on. And there's all sorts of ways that people get together and help fund each other and the enterprises. So it's been very, very frustrating. But at the same time, I would say that we're kind of keeping things afloat. People are working hard, and now that we are reopened, that's better too. With regard to the schools, it was very interesting in this district because you have Fortuna Union School District saying they will do in-person teaching, and then you've got Southern Humboldt Union School Districts doing distance learning. And I find it really fascinating. I work with the superintendent, Glenn Sinistraro. He's very responsive to everything in terms of making it a safe working place for the teachers, etc., and also for the kids. And so we'll see how it works out. But so far, it seems to be working well. And I think as I talk to parents who have to deal with going into a whole other semester of distance learning or that kind of thing, I can feel the frustration. And I think people are looking to it and saying, can it be done? You know, and again, it does come around a lot to having the space to be able to do, you know, separate the kids from each other, etc. But we'll see how it goes. I think as Superintendent Senestrar says to the kids in his announcement every day, it's up to you, you know, to, well, when you leave school, be sure to not congregate and, you know, create big congregations of people that are spreading virus. We don't know what it's going to be like. And so I think it's working well. It is tough. It's tough for everybody, yeah. But I think that they're making it through. I'm very, you know, so far I haven't heard anything bad about that situation.
Obviously, it's going to make campaigning a little challenging for you, too.
My gosh.
The door-to-door thing, you know, you stand out at the front gate and wave. Okay, one side of your T-shirt says one thing, the other side says the other, so you just kind of turn and answer the most frequently asked questions. I mean, it's different.
It is. It's all different. It's so different. But again, I do think that we're very, you know, as I don't know if it's like frogs boiling in water or something like that, but we've kind of got, I feel like we've gotten used to it. And I know that in the first days, like first month or so of the shelter in place part, there were hardly any cars on the road. Right now, I feel like things are moving along.
Right.
You know.
Well, and the cops were told don't let anybody go anywhere.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right,
so
that's
kind of a. Yeah. The one I'm most intrigued by is the restaurants. Neat now, great weather, okay.
It's great.
Now let's have some rain. Let's bring in, you know, the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Now what happens to those restaurants unless things change? And that, to me, is a big question mark that's out there. And I think talking with a lot of restaurant buddies, that's their big question, too. They don't know to turn left, right, invest now, not invest. What do you look at? Nobody really knows because, you know, in 2 days it can become either rendered useless or you get a confirmation of where you are. And that, I think, is that quick change that the governor did to us, I think, is probably one of the biggest questions, concerns, frustrations that people have, is that it can turn that quickly.
Well, I will say this, that it, looking at, you know, just walking down the street or driving down and you're seeing people sitting outside at the restaurants, it's great. I mean, it's a
the alfresco
really nice
nights
feel.
This time of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, like, right. So what happens in the winter? Well, we'll see how that goes. obviously, there's not quite as many people who go to restaurants in the winter, but still, I mean, they stay open every other year. So let's see if they can stay open this year, too.
Hopeful. Thanks for coming by, lady. Nice
to
see you.
Thank you, Brian.
All
great
right.
to see you.
See you right tomorrow.